When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. KJ, we've seen the video, right, where Kendrick is there morphing into different faces like OJ and Kanye, right?
Mm-hmm.
James Harden, if he was in that video, he would just have to morph into himself. But like 2 years ago, the face would barely change. Maybe take off a few pounds. Sixers eliminated by the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler with the dagger three. James Harden, a non-factor. Good morning, guys.
What up, man?
What up, man?
Different time zone again. That's okay, though.
You'll be all right. You're good. No time, no time zone affects Keyshawn Johnson.
No time zone affects Keyshawn Johnson. Or Jason Williams.
Yes.
Max Kellerman would be a different story.
Yeah, that's right.
He needs to get his sleep.
I wish I knew what sleep was anymore.
I told you. Welcome to the game. Just keep going through.
I saw Jay when he started this show, maybe about 6 months into it. I ran him to in the hallway. I was like, damn, Jay, what happened to you? You look tired. He's like, yeah, man, I'm getting up in the middle of the night.
Every day.
It's now, right. Look at me, pasty.
You're good. Summer's right around the corner.
Yeah, that'll help. So, James Harden, man, Doc Rivers, Jimmy Butler, Embiid, there's stuff to get into today. Forget about the NFL schedule. We got to get into that. We have a lot to do and only 4 hours to do it. Jay, it is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Listen to James Harden, Mr. Non-Factor. They moved heaven and earth to bring him there. On whether he will accept less than a max contract extension. Listen to this.
I'll be here. Whatever makes this team, you know, whatever allows this team to continue to grow and get better and do the things necessary to win and compete at the highest level.
James, you said the ball didn't get to you. Does the coach call plays to try to get the ball to you?
Next question.
I mean... he's acting. What's he being salty about? James, you're terrible. Like, what's he talking about, Jay?
Key, it leads me to the question, where is there more blame? Who do you give more blame to, Key?
I probably, in all honesty, when we say blame, we can go a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. We can go front office. We can go players. But it all stops and starts with the head coach to me. When you look at Doc Rivers and his situation, and now you got – James Harden pointing to Doc Rivers essentially by saying next question after someone asked him, does the coach dial it up for you? And he says, well, next question, rather than get into that, when you leave it wide open like that, the speculation is, you and Doc got real issues going on. And then if you look a couple weeks ago, Joel Embiid kind of did some Doc stuff. He just did it the other day, kind of some Doc stuff. And then you go back in history, whether it's with the Clippers or whether it's just last year when the early exit came for the 76ers and all of a sudden Ben Simmons was kind of thrown under the bus. And so you had all of these sort of things. So the one consistent there is Doc Rivers because he's been there the longest between him and James Harden. So for me, it's Doc Rivers. But that's okay. Because I'm sure Doc will get another job somewhere if, in fact, he is let go because of
yeah,
this.
Yeah, careful, Key. Be nice to him. He's heading your way.
Well, I don't know where he's headed
coach.
To. I like Doc, but I'm just giving you real facts on the way that I see it in terms of who's to blame, Jay. I think it's more Doc Rivers than it is James Harden because James Harden just got there.
You remember a week ago, where when James Harden in game four dropped 31 points and 9 assists. And
yes.
Both Max and Key, you guys were telling me, that's James Harden, he's back. This is who he is. And I'm like, And everybody kept saying, Jay Will, there you are. You're a James Harden hater.
Hater.
And I'm like, no. I was the one trying to tell you guys before the series that by the end of the series, we will be talking about more about what James Harden doesn't have in the bag than what he does have in the bag. So with that being said, I want you guys to take a listen, a quick listen to what Joel Embiid had to say about James Harden after the game.
I'm sure, you know, since we got him, everybody expected the Houston James Harden, but that's not who he is anymore. He's more of a playmaker. I thought, you know, at times, you know, could have been, as all of us, could have been more aggressive, all of us.
So this goes into my point, guys. Like, a lot of times, and I'm going to sound biased on this, it's not that bigs aren't smart enough or they're not passionate enough, but this is why I find it hard for bigs to be the true leaders of teams, because the ball is not in their hands most of the game, right? The volume aspect of the ball being in the hands of the guard. And this is why I feel that the 76ers are leaderless. How can James Harden take two damn shots, Key, in the second half? Two shots in the second half. Two. And one of the shots was when they were down 20 points late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it doesn't count. You can't even count that one. Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here? This is clutch time when you were brought here to be that guy next to Joel Embiid. And even if you are not feeling aggressive, your words after the game about, oh, they didn't run any plays and the ball never ended back in my hands. What kind of horrible excuse is that? All I'm hearing is excuses from him. And my man was a no-show. James Harden was a no-show.
You need to be a no-show at the
him
club.
The most. They were getting booed. And let me say this last thing. Max Strus and Gabe Vincent started last night. Two undrafted players for the Miami Heat with no Kyle Lowry. And they dominated the 76ers in Philly in game six.
Why, Jay, like, you know this is a basketball player, though. Right? They running plays and sets for you, whatever. And if it's not working and they're not giving you the opportunity to do your deal, why not just be a hot dog? I was a hot dog in high school when the coach didn't call plays for me. It's basketball. It's unlike football. I got the rock on my hand. I'm just getting ready to be a hot dog. People are not going to want to play with me at that point in time.
Keyshawn, if you didn't get a couple of touches after a couple of downs, you're going to let people know what time it is in the huddle.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Of course.
Thank you. So my thing is, if you're the lead guard.
But in basketball, I got the ball. I can just go be a hot dog.
And I'm going to tell you what time it is. It's going to be my time.
Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, All-Star game. Move out the way, man.
Because he doesn't have it. How can you be a hot dog when you know, you can't put the ball on the floor and do what you got to do?
So does that mean he's lost his confidence or he's not good anymore?
I'm going to give credit to the hamstring is not right. But still, man, if you're going to go out being aggressive.
What's up with his handles, though, Jay? That doesn't look right either to me.
The whole game looks sloppy.
Yeah.
The body looks sloppy. The game looks sloppy.
He looked the same. Body. Everybody keeps saying he's out of shape. I'm like, his body looked the same to me. Nothing.
You know where it is, okay?
He doesn't look like he looked at the end in Houston when he looked like the Michelin man. Now he just looks normal to me now.
But see, you know what? It's the lack of pop with the dribbling, right? So as a guard, every day for 45 minutes, I do ball handling warm-up exercises, right? As a player, get in there because my day in the day has to be tight, Key. Everything, like everything, all my moves are sharp. When I watch James, all the moves seem lackadaisical.
Yeah.
All the moves seem loose. They don't seem like they're
tight.
Composite,
yeah.
Tight.
Yeah,
and
his handles reflect it. That's what's shocking to me. Like, yo, James Harden, what's up with the handles? But look, the bottom line is this. He has a reputation for going out, right? At a certain point.
So funny you said that, Max.
Right, Key?
You got to take care of yourself.
The
reason it's so funny you said that, because literally when Jay was just doing the pop, 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 it popped in my head when I was in Houston this last week, and I was on with the Houston guys back there that, you know, seen James Harden play. They was asking me about being able – they were asking me about James Harden in Philly, but being able to do both, being able to party and then go and do the game the next day. And, you know, we just have a conversation about it, and you bring it up. It's just funny.
To a certain age, you probably can. And then after a certain age, guess what? You can't do that anymore. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. I think it's safe to assume to say now that James Harden has reached that age. The irony – of the Sixers being eliminated by Jimmy Butler. And Butler had some stuff to say about it after Jay has this from Masterworks.
Hot news story talking about one of the best business minds in sports. Regardless of how you feel about how he runs things in Dallas, you can't deny the dude is a baller. That three Super Bowl run was legendary, and he turned his parents' small grocery store into an empire worth billions. So when he puts millions into a new market valued at $1.7 trillion, it's worth paying attention to. Here's the best part. Now ordinary people like you and I can enter that same market without needing to own a franchise. Check it out. It's called Masterworks. What they're doing is revolutionary, which is why they're already got over 400,000 members on their platform and certified unicorn status. Our listeners get priority access to skip their wait list. Imagine that. Just go to masterworks.io and use promo code KJM. See important Regulation A disclosures at masterworks.io/CD. That's masterworks.io, promo code KJM. Masterworks.io, promo code KJM. There's no guarantee of profits in investing, includes risk of loss.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
So the NBA, guys, has their new Eastern and Western Conference Finals MVPs, and they named them after, in the East, Larry Bird, in the West, Magic Johnson. And I like it because I think those guys need some recognition in some way, and you can't rename, if you're going to rename Finals MVP, right, it has to be Michael Jordan. But it is a focus on the 80s. Jay, you don't remember the 80s. What year were you born?
81.
You were born in 81, so you're like, okay. Maybe.
But I know Larry Bird and Magic
But I mean,
Johnson,
but your
yes.
generation of, your,
you know what I mean?
The people born when you were born and after are like, yeah, I get it, but we've also seen, so like if they were to rename this award in 20 or 30 years.
So you're saying like 2042.
Yeah. And you're going to move on from Bird and Magic, right? Who would it be?
So, Key, can we agree that the NBA Finals MVP is probably just called the It's Michael Jordan Award, right? I mean, six.
What is it called now?
Russell.
Bill Russell.
Bill Russell.
Bill Russell?
Yeah.
I mean, if you wanted to rename it, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, six
Yeah,
six
if you want to rename it, it's Michael Jordan.
MVPs, undefeated.
Yeah, yeah, Michael
either,
Jordan.
Either
yeah.
Bird or Magic were in, I want to say all but one, but I'm seeing here it's every one of the finals in the 80s. I want to say there was one that they weren't in, but maybe I'm wrong about that.
Yeah, so I'm okay with that. I like that one because I feel like that transcends the game. Actually, Michael Jordan should be the logo, but that's another conversation. Then LeBron James in the Eastern Conference, for me, just because of the dominance he's had over his career, just how many times they've been to the finals, even though some people use that record against him in
the
losses.
Yeah, but if we're talking about conference finals.
Yeah, for sure it would be conference final for LeBron.
Yeah, because you're talking Eastern about – you're not – it's not without regard to the finals, just the conference finals.
Eastern
Conference.
Was it nine times?
Eastern Conference, yeah.
Was it nine times in the Eastern Conference?
It's up there. I don't know the exact number right now, but I know it's up there.
By the way, confirm Magic and Bird were in every finals.
How many championships did LeBron play in?
LeBron went to the finals every year. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So it's like he played in at least nine,
nine
that we know of, that we can think of off the top of my rip, and then the one on the West Coast, but he don't get any credit for that one because that's a West Coast
that was the
award.
Bubble.
Well, except that there are so many players.
If we Western
look,
Conference.
It's obviously LeBron in the East, right?
Yeah. So, LeBron in the East.
So who is it in the West, though? You know who I think
Kobe?
It is? I think it's Kobe.
I think it has to be Kobe.
I would probably say Kobe.
Has to be Kobe. Unless somebody in the next 20 years does something insane.
Yeah, Kobe got there seven times and won five.
Could Steph get there?
It could be Steph, too, though.
Steph has only been there five times so far. Kobe got there seven.
Yeah, but Steph's career is still going.
LaMelo Ball in L.A.?
As of right now, to me, to be Kobe. We're back in 10 seconds. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Sirius XM Channel 80, obviously ESPN Woo! Radios, your smart speakers, were presented by Progressive Insurance. Guys, I love when, because athletes can deny it in the moment, this and that, and sometimes they're not lying, like the media and the fans have it wrong, but I love when what is obvious to everyone, right? Jimmy Butler, ooh, he's going to be mad that they signed up Tobias Harris and let him walk out the door. And the media's talking about it and whispering about it, and the fans all just assume that's the dynamic that's playing out. But when you get confirmation from the athlete himself in the moment of truth, I think everyone's like, yeah, yes, thank you. That's very satisfying. It's gratifying to hear the athlete actually say it. This was Jimmy Butler, guys, coming off the court after knocking the Sixers out of the playoffs.
Yeah, man.
Tobias Harris over me?
I mean, you gave Tobias Harris that five-year, $180 million deal. Shout out to Tobias for getting it and his dad for being his agent, getting the deal done. Yeah. But that is reflective upon the organization about what they chose over Jimmy and the relationship between Jimmy and Joel Key. Like, that, man, like just looking at that, like that's why Joel loved Jimmy, because there was somebody that can say, Joel, get your ass off the ground the first 10 possessions of the 76ers game in game six. Like, let's go. There was somebody to push Joel like that, and they respected each other.
Jay, let me – I don't know this. Now, you know, every time you say something that makes a whole lot of sense, it makes me think. Is there – where's Joel Embiid's contract at? Is he in it long haul? Could he all of a sudden at some point be in Miami with a Jimmy Butler? Get away from Philly
and get his hands on Joel Embiid.
I mean, brother, kid,
could that all of a sudden be that?
I've never thought about that. But you're the one that told me if a player don't want to be somewhere, he ain't got to be there. So I don't know if I see Joel Embiid leaving Philly, but you're sniffing on something though, man. And nobody's talking about.
Well, you just said relationship.
No. But that's what I'm saying. You're sniffing on something because I can make the case to you that Philly's done a horrible job of putting pieces around Joel to help him get to where he wants to be.
Yeah. You're allowing Jimmy Butler to get out of there for Tobias Harris, and Jimmy never forgot that in the back of his mind. It's always been there. Now he get a chance to face you and eliminate you at a level. In Philly, on your court, he drops 32 on your head and then lets you know when he's going into the locker room how he felt about the transaction between him and Tobias Harris. Nothing personally against Tobias Harris, I'm sure. He's talking more to the front office of the Philadelphia 76ers than he is the young man that got the money. So Philly completely has screwed this thing up. There's no question about it. They tried to dig themselves out of the hole by acquiring James Harden. that didn't go right for him. And now you got a whole offseason to think about what your next steps are.
Mm. Listen, I brought this up. Marcus Hayes of the Philadelphia Inquirer tweeted a couple days ago because Butler was going off. And he's saying, like, it's not just about Tobias Harris. He thinks maybe also James Harden. Like, you basically wound up with James Harden instead of me, Jimmy Butler, right? Jimmy Butler, guys, there's such a – like, what the Philadelphia 76ers tried to do was exercise a lot of patience and manipulate the system, exploit the system, the process. The league recognized, oh, can't do that because it's working, right? You got Simmons and Embiid through this process. Okay, they make them hire Brian Colangelo. That was a disaster. So the league lost patience, okay? Then the Sixers lost patience. Hey, we need someone, like, they're getting to the second round of the playoffs. We need someone better than Jimmy Butler. If they just would have stayed with Jimmy Butler, I think they're advancing right now, right? They're probably advancing right now.
Well, it's also because Ben Simmons and Jimmy Butler, that relationship was weird, but look how it's panned out with Ben Simmons being moved later on. So, yeah, so you're looking at the court last night and you're wondering what if as a 76er fan, because Jimmy Butler should have been the leader of that team
and
with
that
Joel
was,
Embiid.
That was a choice of Ben Simmons to me over Joel Embiid because Butler was Embiid's guy. Redick was Embiid's guy. They got rid of Embiid's people. And in a way, they're like, here, Ben
but
Simmons,
remember,
the younger, healthier player at the time.
But it was
right?
Different management.
Yeah, but that's what I was going to say. Remember at the time, Embiid was having a lot of health issues,
yeah.
Couldn't really stay on the court. So they wasn't really sure if he was going to be where he was at then. I mean, where he is today back then. So they made a move to side basically with Ben Simmons.
But yeah, Kate, I just want to go back to a bigger point because I know we're going to focus on Jimmy Butler here, but I don't think we should be. Because if you're talking about a guy that finished second in the MVP voting 2 years in a row, you can make the case that this year should have won the damn thing.
Yeah.
Question is, should he want to stay in Philadelphia?
No, I done brought that up.
You brought – Key, that's the question of the
day. I just was thinking in my head.
Because,
I'm like
– No, because you got
myself,
it right.
Where's his contract at?
You got it right, Key.
Is he in there for the next 2 years, 3 years, 4 – I don't know. I don't have it in front. It just popped in my head. And so – I'm like, if I'm him, I ain't really trying to see Mike D'Antoni as my coach again. I mean, as the coach, and then Doc Rivers. I got issues with him potentially. Now I already done said see, James Harden.
Don't let Pat
James
Riley
Harden
get his
from Houston.
But see,
Pat Riley get his hands on a big like Joel
Embiid. That's what I started thinking, Max. I'm like, dang, if he get his hands on another big.
Well, they had to give up a lot, though, probably, to get him if to force his way out. But all I'm saying is,
man,
if
Pat Riley will figure it out.
Yeah, but if I'm Philly, like, first off, if I'm Doc, I'm getting the hell out of there. I do not want to be there. I have a home in L.A. I want to go. I want to be the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers.
But
I don't feel like I got valued at all here.
He maybe could
y'all
work
wanted,
in L.A. too.
Y'all wanted to fire me. Y'all wanted to get me out of here. I'm out of here. And if I'm Philly, I'm hiring Sam Cassell.
Mm.
I'm bringing on Sam Cassell. He's good.
Do
report.
We want him, Doc Rivers, in L.A. though, Jay?
Who do you want, Key?
I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just saying, do the Lakers really want Doc Rivers in L.A. because you failed with the Clippers here in L.A. when everybody assumed you had all the pieces. You wound up getting fired there. Then you, in Philadelphia, 2 years in a row, you get exit by whatever. You know, last year you blame Ben Simmons. This year, whatever it is, it happened. Harden didn't work out. Embiid is mad at the situation. And then you want him to come to L.A. to coach the Lakers. I think it would be a good move. But do the fan base and Jeannie Buss and company really want Doc Rivers?
Embiid has a supermax extension that kicks in 23-24 season. Player option for 26-27. That's the earliest he can be a free agent. But usually guys can force their way out the year before that, right? Leading into that, because then they can say, oh, I'm going to leave and you're not going to get anything for me. He's making 33.6 in 22-23. He can be traded, you know, by the letter of the law as of July 17th. Heat are hoping Jimmy Butler can continue to get in the zone. Butler talking about how much he loves Embiid, wishes he was still on the team. Ooh.
Oh.
In the Eastern Conference Finals, well, if the mountain won't come to Muhammad, right? Like maybe Key is and Jay, you caught that right away. Maybe Embiid could be moved. Get in the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the Zone, AutoZone. NFL schedule is out. Tom Brady may want to head to that Fox booth a little sooner than we expected. After Key has this from Straight Talk.
Cutting the price of your wireless bill feels good, really good. Actually, it feels great. You should try it. So cut your bill by switching to Straight Talk Wireless, now offering our $45 Silver Unlimited plan for 5 gigabytes of hotspot in nationwide 5G on America's largest and most dependable networks. The $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk, Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. A month equals 30 days. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G compatible device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, Jay, yep. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Here with Super Bowl champion head coach Sean McVay. This dude is about 12 years old, been to 2 Super Bowls and won one already.
Our own Evan Wilner. That's what I call our producer.
McVay?
I call him, yeah.
Oh, high Sean praise. McVay. High praise. McVay, boy, everyone. Oh, boy, genius. You want to make fun of him? Meantime. And then he says, let's go all in on Matthew Stafford, and it works.
Got him.
So far, so good. Here is Sean McVay on the ESPN schedule release show. Here's the Week 9 matchup versus the Bucks they got. Listen to head coach.
I think Tom needs to just go to Fox sooner than later. No, you know what? I got tremendous respect for the Bucks. They've always been a great matchup, great challenge. Obviously, they did a phenomenal job last year and what they've done the last couple years. We know it's going to be an outstanding matchup. And, you know, that's what you love about the NFL. Great competition, great players and coaches. And I know Todd Bowles is going to do an excellent job. And Tom leading the way makes them an incredibly tough outfit.
Key, listen to the schedule, though. When he's like, coach is being tongue-in-cheek, maybe he wants to head to Fox, Tom Brady early, right? The Bucks get the – so they open with the Cowboys. Then the Saints, they're at Saints. Then they host the Packers. Then they host the Chiefs. Then they host the Falcons. They're at Steelers. It's kind of rough sledding early on.
It their first two games are on the road though, right?
Mm-hmm. Dallas and at New Orleans. Yeah.
Yeah, at Dallas and at New Orleans. So they don't get home until week 3. But they face the Green Bay Packers, which. They've had the Green Bay Packers number to a degree recently here with Tom Brady. And then after that, they have the Chiefs, which, you know, the Chiefs against them in the Super Bowl, that's their Super Bowl rematch. The Heat will be down in Tampa a little bit. I don't necessarily worry about that for the Chiefs as much as I am just wanting to see the matchup. But those first four games is not an easy road to victory at all whatsoever. Now, we need to see what the Cowboys are. We need to see what the Saints are, as well as the Packers and the Chiefs. But I can tell you one thing. If they somehow wind up being 1-3 or something along those lines,
could happen.
The season could get real bumpy for them if you think about it.
I feel like I more so see the Bucs going 3-1 than I see them going 1-3.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
I know that I hear what you're saying. The hypothetical of it,
but 3-1.
But like, so there's still. I mean, we still have questions around Jameis Winston, right, Key? Like
health wise
of him, right? So we'll get a chance to see that. A lot of questions around Dallas. And I know Max gets worried about people not talking about Dallas, which makes you think it's their year, but they've lost a lot. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Green Bay, they still have questions around their wide receiver and core, even though you know what Aaron Rodgers brings to the table. I still think that the Bucs are probably going to be favored in probably three out of these
four
games.
But none of these teams are unbeatable. But, Key, you're right. Yeah. You start on the road against the Cowboys, who are good, and the Saints, who are quite good, and also always play the Bucs, especially in the regular season, very tough divisional rivals. So those are two tough games. Those aren't easy. And then when you finally get a couple of home games, it's the Packers and Chiefs back-to-back?
The biggest question marks on those first four for me only would be the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. I mean, I kind of know about New Orleans and their roster and their situation and what they got and what it is. They got a really good team, man. The Honey Badger just joined them in their secondary. You think about Chris Olave, Michael Thomas coming back, Alvin Kamara. And from everything I'm hearing, Jameis Winston is on schedule. He should be fine. The Chiefs, for the most part, they're intact. I know they lost Tyreek Hill, but they still added some weapons for what they want to do. And then when we talk about the Green Bay Packers, the Packers receivers, they didn't get anybody in the first round, so everybody went crazy and they lost. There's no question they lost Devontae Adams, but yet and still, their defense got better. Their offense last year could still put up points. They got Aaron Rodgers. He likes to play with, or they like to develop young receivers, so to speak. You know, so we'll see. I just think that this is not a cakewalk by no stretch of imagination, man. When you go on the road in New Orleans, it's a hostile environment in week two. Like, they're going to be jacked up.
But you know how the NFL is. So what you say, 1-3, 3-1, that's a 2-2 start. They'll be fine. Right? They're going to go 2-2 in their first four, and they'll be fine.
Probably.
Yeah, they'll be fine. But that is a very tough opening to the season.
I hear what everybody's saying. After watching Tom Brady last year, like I have a lot of faith in Tom Brady getting things done in clutch times.
Yeah, no, but you know Chris Godwin's coming off an ACL, Jay.
Yeah,
we don't know if Gronkowski. I'm assuming Gronkowski's going to come back.
Yeah,
you know he likes to play the game and do the wrestling and have some fun. But I'm assuming he's coming back. There is no more Ronald Jones. It's all Leonard Fournette. There's no Dominican Sue in the middle as of right now. So you start to look at some shifting changes on the defensive side of the ball for them. So they got more question marks, I think, than what most people think just because they got Tom Brady. And I say just because, you still got to have some playmakers in some positions,
you know what else?
To help you win.
Key, you know what else, Jay? You know what else? Like, so for years I'm going, Tom Brady's going to fall off the cliff just because no quarterback ever was great after 41, and he was going to turn 41. So, all right, he's not going to be the first. He's still going great. But what's interesting to me is he gave no indication at the time that he thought the end was near. So that meant he was feeling good. But now recently, after they're going to beat the Rams, right? And he leads them down the field, and they have Tom Brady. And then Stafford comes right back on him and gets by him. And then we start hearing retirement. And then he supposedly retires for a little while. And now we hear he's signed a 10-year deal for $375 million. Those are all indications to me that he's feeling that even if he has another great year in him or something like that, he's feeling the end is coming pretty damn soon. It seems to me the indications he's giving us now. And that makes me think that I don't know if they're vulnerable because sometimes that last season could be incredible, but this might be it for him, right? This could be.
I'm done. Key, I'm not doing it anymore.
No, Max.
I'm not going
time,
down that road anymore, man.
Max,
I can't jump on that train.
The last time you questioned Tom Brady off the cliff, you know what he did to you?
Yeah, I know.
He walked across a tightrope with a strong wind over the Grand Canyon from one side to the next with no net underneath, and he made it.
Yeah, like the Roadrunner who went off the cliff, and somehow the Roadrunner could walk on the air, but the coyote fell right down. I'm the coyote.
I think Max makes a good point, though, here. Tom Brady did signal the end is near. He retired for 40 days, and he's got a $37 million year job waiting for him at Fox.
Yeah.
Like, there is
external signals now.
Yeah, right, but there's that.
But no, but Max, are you saying the end is because he wants to retire or his ability?
No, what I'm saying is something key. He might feel, Tom Brady might feel like I can still do it, but I don't know for how much longer, right? Like,
of,
I can.
Of course.
So yeah. I got this. But so I got, I think I got what it just feels to me like he thinks he has one more year in him.
Then you correlated that to that makes you feel like Tom Brady is vulnerable. Because maybe, and I don't see that as vulnerability.
No, me neither.
I don't see that as being vulnerable at all.
I see that as I'm going all in.
Yes.
I'm balling out, and then I'm walking into the sunset.
Yeah, it could be. And then he could do it on his own terms.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I see. There are, like, in baseball, there's something, I won't get too technical, but there's something called isolated power, which when that number goes way down, even if your other numbers on the top look good, usually the player will, dare I say, fall off the cliff. Tom Brady may feel like I got enough juice, I got enough battery in the back to win another Super Bowl this year, right? And then I don't know after. I feel like that's how much I got.
What about the Todd Bowles side of this? I mean, you get those first four games we talked about: Cowboys, Saints, Packers, Chiefs, all good teams from last year. All, you know, in the playoff mix right until the end. Three of them made the playoffs. Key, what about Todd Bowles, a first year head coach, not a first time head coach, with that slate of games out of the gates?
That's interesting, because last time he was a head coach, not so good, but he didn't have Tom Brady either. He didn't have Byron Leftwich as a play caller. As long as he can manage the game and know when to call timeouts and when to make decisions on the red flags and things of that nature and still run his defense, you essentially, the way you look at it with a guy like Todd Bowles, you got an offensive coordinator and Byron Leftwich, stay out of the way. Mm-hmm. You call the defense and just manage the situation. You got a special teams coach, coordinator, stay out the way. And I think if he does that, then he'll be good. If he starts to try to manage everything, it could be problematic for him.
Meantime, that's the Bucks of it all. On the schedule, guys. A lot more on the schedule. By the way, even Bucks versus Chiefs week 4, I'm looking forward to, obviously, right? But Kansas City, I mentioned the Bucks schedule to begin the season. Have you looked at Kansas City to start? Oh, and I get it. When your division is tough, the whole thing is tough, right? But, oh, my God. All right. You ready for this, guys? They open the season at Arizona. There it is.
Chargers, September 15th. Yeah.
Chargers can be tough. That's a tough game.
Hold on. Arizona, Key, starts every season 8-0, apparently. Like,
yeah,
especially early in the season.
You got to remember, no DeAndre Hopkins in the lineup.
Yeah, that's true, although they did make a trade. They have another pretty good receiver. Not DeAndre Hopkins, but at Arizona. Then they host the Chargers.
Tough.
At Colts.
That's tough.
At Bucks. Host the Raiders. Host the Bills.
Wow.
At 49ers. Then they get their bye, and then they got the Titans. Like, I don't see a soft spot. If you guys, Key, if you're trying to tell me that week one at Arizona, who the last couple of years been the last undefeated team standing, is easy, and that's their soft spot, good luck. They got a murderer's row of a schedule.
Let me see that schedule again.
Key, is it feasible? Just feasible. I'm not saying it's going to happen. To have the conversation around Kansas City missing the playoffs?
You can have a conversation around it. Could it happen? Yes, it could. The problem is you don't usually miss the playoffs when you have a dude like Patrick Mahomes pulling the trigger.
I hear you.
And you got a coach like Andy Reid on the sideline, right? You usually don't miss the playoffs. Teams that got those type of players, like for instance, we'll go back in history, the Drew Breeses of the world, the Saints aren't going to miss the playoffs.
Not with Sean Payton. And
Drew Brees. It's just not. It's like not going to happen, right? You think about the New England Patriots, Tom Brady, and Bill Belichick. They missed the playoffs with Matt Castle, and they still won, 10, 11 games?
11 games that year.
So when you start to think about it, it could happen.
Boy, chances are.
I don't think it will.
NFC West, I wondered if four could make it out of the NFC West. Three made it out because Seattle stumbled, right? But three made it out of the West. I wonder if you can finish last in the NFC, in the AFC West this year, and still make the playoffs. I really wonder if that could happen. Is there any concern, Mike Tannenbaum, who's with us now, Mike T, that the Chiefs could miss the playoffs based on their first eight games. Rough schedule. No Tyreek Hill. Great division they're playing in. What do you think, Mike?
There's no chance they miss the playoffs. They got the best player in the game, period, end of story. And that's why we're paying him $45 million a year. Look, Tyreek Hill is a great player. He graduated, but I have Andy Reid. I got Patrick Mahomes. You guys can have everybody else. So I think the Chargers are going to be there. I think the Chargers could win the division, but there's 0% chance, 0.0, that the Kansas City Chiefs are not in the playoffs.
What do you think about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? They got four tough ones out the gate, man. You got the Cowboys, you got the Saints, the Packers, and the Chiefs in this situation. And the first two games are on the road, not at Raymond James Stadium.
Well, Key, like, let's just break the news right here. I have you as the opposite receiver to CeeDee Lamb on opening day because there's no way Michael Gallup's going to be ready. Amari Cooper left, and Jalen Tolbert's a third-round pick, so I figure they're going to sign you on opening day. So in all seriousness, I think Dallas has a chance to be really good, but until Michael Gallup is healthy, who's the next best receiver for the Cowboys? So I think on paper, Dallas looks tough, but if I'm Tampa Bay going into that game, I think I could outscore Dallas because I don't know who I think Todd Bowles is going to double-team CeeDee Lamb, and I don't know who else is going to be scoring points for the Cowboys.
Mike T, why does it seem that the Bucs have such a hard time with the Saints? I mean, last year, them losing with Taysom Hill and company, like, what is it about the Saints that makes it difficult for Tom Brady?
Dennis Allen's a really good coach, and you go back a year ago, Malcolm Jenkins, Marcus Williams, two really good safeties, and boy, I think the Saints did a great job. They flipped out those two. They got the Honey Badger, who I still think is a tough, smart, versatile player, and they signed Marcus May from the Jets. So they have a lot of really good athletes on the back end, and I think Dennis Allen's a really good play caller. So that should be a very competitive matchup. And guys, if we go back a year ago, Jameis Winston was playing good football before he got hurt.
Really good, I thought. Mike T?
Yeah, no, I really like Jameis Winston. I think they're a really intriguing team. I love Chris Olave. Hopefully Michael Thomas gets back to close to what he was. So I think this is a team that could really compete with Tampa. Again, I know Tampa's schedule is hard, guys, but again, I go back to opening day. I think Tampa can beat Dallas because Dallas really is going to start off the season without a full complement of weapons. But I think this Saint-Buccaneer sort of like pennant race for the division title should be really interesting.
Hey, Mike, we're getting a lot of static. We're gonna clean that up now and bring you back in about 1 minute. So let's just clean up that static. Who could listen to that static? We'll get him right back.
Mike down there in one of them pretty cities that he has a house at, and you know, some of his connections aren't quite ready to come to us the way we needed to. So yeah, that was
a good
smart
job
thing by you, Max,
explaining
to
that.
Clean
Keith.
It up.
Good job explaining that.
Well, I just was trying to buy time, Jay.
I'm trying to figure out
how to buy us a minute.
Key, I like his.
I don't want to tell where the man lives at. I'm not you.
One of those.
You
beautiful
gave his
places.
Address. Hey, he's at 3649.
I gave away one hotel.
Beverly
where
Hills
we were
Drive.
At. I gave away one location where we're having dinner. That's all I've ever done. One location.
Room 604. That's where Key is staying.
Nobody came to visit us.
That's exactly what you
What are you talking about? Key got stalked. Remember when we were trying to figure out how they knew where the hotel was?
I didn't give away his hotel. That's on him. I know what hotel he was staying at.
He just went to a hotel and autograph seekers had chased him down from a half hour in a car away, and we were trying to figure out how they knew where the hotel was, and we just figured it out.
That's Key's fault. His spidey senses should be way better to see a car following you for 30 minutes, Key.
Hey, man. Your driver didn't alert me.
Don't put it on my drive. I rent cars.
All right. Mike T back with us. Mike.
Oh, there it is. That's cleaned up. That sounds
Mike,
way better.
You got us?
Yes, sir.
Oh,
and I heard Key take some shots about my house. So I was listening the whole time.
At least I didn't give your address away like Jay would have.
Mike, what is your address, by the way? I'm joking, Mike. I'm joking. Don't tell your address.
Hey, Mike, you talked about whether or not the Cowboys would be ready, how well Jameis Winston played. What else stood out in the schedule to you?
You know what's fascinating? Like, go to the Dolphins. You know, they had a great offseason. Tyreek Hill and some of the other big moves changed their head coach. You know, they get their division opponents from the north early in September, which is what you want. You know, they got the Patriots, they got the Bills at home. But, boy, I think they have the hardest three-game stretch of any team this year. They're a three-game road trip of at the 49ers, at the Chargers, and at the Bills. So I think those are tough three games. But I could see Miami getting out to an early start because, again, when I was there, guys, like, you want to play as many home games if you're the Dolphins in September at home.
Mike T, our forensic scientists, Keyshawn Johnson and Max Kellerman here of the KJM show, have broken down the Instagram video of Tua underthrowing Tyreek Hill and making it a really big deal.
Come on, it was a hype video, Mike.
Are you making that a big deal, Mike?
I am not. I mean, you know, that could have been like in a walkthrough. So now, look, there's a massive amount of pressure on Tua. And to me, what's interesting, guys, is like you look at Sam Darnold, right? You look at Baker Mayfield and these fifth-year options. Miami's going to have a big decision. They got two great receivers in Waddle and Hill. So if he's doing that in September, it could be a really big story.
Mike, you had one decent quarterback in Chad Pennington your entire career. Come on now. You know dang on well in pat and go or in anything, in jogging through, if somebody is throwing a punt and the video people is putting that out there as if it's its only – think about it. In a course of a day, that's the only throw that they could find that looks halfway decent to them. Now, maybe it was a mistake. I don't know. But if that is the case, I'm worried and concerned as a receiver if that's the case.
Yeah, well, they have some time to iron it out. But I understand that, Key. But if I'm the Dolphins, I'm getting the ball in those two guys' hands as quickly as possible. And, look, maybe there's stuff behind the line of scrimmage, a lot of quick game. And they work into sort of like taking those shots down the field. But obviously with Tyreek Hill, you've got to get him 10 touches a game. That's why you got him.
Mike T, what about the Pats and the Bills? They don't play each other until week 13. So I'm curious, what do you want to see from the Pats the first time they play the Bills?
Jay, well, this is the one game on the schedule that I'm the most intrigued by. And here's why. The last time those two teams played, the Buffalo Bills did not punt. That's really a remarkable statement. In a playoff game, the Bills did not punt. And we know the greatness of Bill Belichick and how smart he is. And I can't wait to see what adjustments he's going to make because I just can't imagine that's going to happen again. And candidly, I wish that game was on opening day because I just want to see what they're going to do differently. Are they going to go small? Like, are they going to pressure more? Like, what adjustments is Belichick going to make against that great Bill offense?
Mike, real quick, how much pressure is under Bill right now, given the fact that Mr. Kraft had something to say as well?
You know, Key? Yeah, Key, I think there's real pressure from a standpoint. Like, they got to just show progress that in this post-Brady era that they could still be a very competitive team, maybe win a playoff game. So, look, no, as you know, Key, like, Bill's going to hold himself to the highest standard, but I think this is an important year for them.
Mm. Did Mike Tannenbaum actually just say there's pressure on Bill Belichick? Now I'm going to look outside my window and see pigs flying by. That is unbelievable.
Give me that address.
Thanks, Mike T.
All right, Mike T.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
it. We'll tell you about another coach whose pipes burst with the pressure on. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.